Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Purim Sameach to everyone. Who would have thought that we would still be here talking about things that we always don't want to think about, war and injuries and shelters. But with that comes a sense of renewal and resurgence of high spirits, and we have to keep our spirits up and embrace all that is given to us. So on this Purim day, I share with you some of my favorite flavors when it comes to thinking of Persia. Think saffron, cumin, coriander, all sorts of exciting fusion food. Before I launch into a whole bunch of recipes and ideas and just chatting to you about my favorite flavors, I'm going to talk about a few trends in the marketplace. And for that, I'm going to turn to Anthea Soteropoulos of Lulu D. Without further ado, I'm going to chat to my first guest today, who is doing the most beautiful floral in the marketplace and is gaining such momentum even with our community. And she has been around for many years, and we're hearing her name more and more. Anthea Soteropoulos, said right like a Greek, correct?
Perfect. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Good. And on this Purim day where we're talking about flavors and fusion foods and coriander and cumin and saffron and all my favorite scents, it's a great day to talk to a genuine Greek. So welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So talk to us about your journey, how you got into floral and where you are now, and then we'll talk about trends in the marketplace.
So in a nutshell, I actually studied psychology, had nothing to do with flowers, but have always loved to wrap a present and decorate a table and pull flowers from my garden. So I always loved that, the aesthetics of things. And what happened was I started a little business on the side, just a little creative outlet of making hampers, you know, gift hampers.
Yes, yes.
And started selling them at my son's school, just as a little sideline. And I helped friends at their birthday parties with flowers and stuff. And we went to a birthday party, and somebody came up to me and she said, "Oh my goodness, I love your flowers. Please, could I have your card?" And I was quite embarrassed. I said, "You know what? We're busy printing cards at the moment.
So we've all been there.
You as soon as possible." And she said, "I'm going to phone you. We're opening up a restaurant in a couple of months. I'm going to phone you for flowers." And it was actually a marble restaurant. It was the lady Irene Tiniaku, very talented, who opened up marble. And so whenever people say, "How long have you been in the business?" I'm always like, "Well, how long has marble been?" 10
that's
years
amazing.
This year, right? That's us. So it's a nice story.
A beautiful story. Beautiful story. And I think we all start with the things we love and our passions. I started one cheesecake at a time. It's the similar kind of story. I started doing little cakes at birthday parties, and the next thing someone asked me to do a bar mitzvah. So I think
100%.
That's the way we journey. And
nothing
I think,
happens randomly,
for sure,
as they say.
Serendipity. Serendipity rules. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Correct.
So talk to me about where you're at now and what you love doing and the kind of functions you do and just your loves and your passions and your favorite flowers and where you see it going.
You know, a lot of people walk into our studio and they're like, "Oh my God, I love what you do. I can't believe you work with such beautiful things." And you know what we do? We really do. I mean, we go to the flower market every day. There are beautiful things. I'm inspired every day by things that I see. Mm-hmm. And I think it's made me more aware of just generally nature around us. So I'll even drive to the market and I'm like, "Oh my God, look at that grass there," which I was never aware of before. Mm-hmm. So where we are at the moment, I mean, we do a lot of, we still do our one-off bouquets. We do the restaurants. We do flowers for pantry. And of course, events have become bigger and bigger, mm-hmm. corporate events, weddings. So we're very busy with a mixture of stuff, which is exciting because I kind of tend to get bored just doing one thing.
And have you seen trends evolve over the last few years?
100%. 100%. I mean, I think things have just got bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, I'm seeing so things kind of built up, and you've got, so many talented florists in our country.
For sure.
Actually, you look on Pinterest, you look on overseas inspiration, and I really feel like our florists here.
World class.
Absolutely, 100%. So there was definitely a trend going towards more is more is more, and I think there's still that. And I think it happens with food as well, but I see a trend, and you might see it with your food as well, is things are going a little bit more minimalist. Things are going towards art. Mm-hmm. Food is looking like art.
And also there's a fusion of food and floral sometimes.
Which is so exciting because mm-hmm. I love it, because my second passion, actually maybe even first above flowers, is food.
Mm-hmm. It's all interwoven. It's like when you said you studied psychology. I studied English literature, but I always say everything you do and everything you are comes forth in your creation on a plate, on a platter, in a vase, you know. So I've seen your beautiful creations. And if you were doing dinner in your home, what is your signature look?
So you know what? I love doing stuff at home, because often my husband will say to me, the table looks beautiful, but is there food? I'm not smelling anything, because I can spend hours on the table. Mm-hmm. And it's actually quite nice being in the business, because I can also try stuff at home.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't like to do anything. I mean, I'm talking for big events.
Mm-hmm.
I generally like to try on something different at home, because then it's almost like a guinea pig. Does this work? Does this not work?
Yes.
But kind of anything goes the way you do it nowadays. And
yes.
I see it with fashion and I see it with hair. If something is done in a stylish way or
you can get
using
away
good
with tone, almost any look.
You can get away with it. And I'm even finding colors. There's not even any rules with colors anymore. All the rules are being broken.
Mm-hmm.
You're expecting bold color clashes all of a sudden. You're finding lime green and coral and hot pink and electric blue. And it's all working and it's exciting because we are pushing the boundaries in all spheres.
And do you feel that, like, the natural look with greens and whites and naturals and stones, is that something that's still very much alive?
Definitely. Most definitely. You know what? Every year you think, okay, it's going.
It's going,
and they
yes.
may introduce they may introduce something like, very much at the moment is the moody and rich jewel colors. So you've got the burgundies, the plums, the deep blues. So that's new. Bold and bright. And your pastels are always in. But I don't know, the earthy, neutral tones
There's
are always
there. There's always a
place
there. For it.
And mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure everybody does know this, but the Pantone 2026 color this year is Cloud Dancer, which is white.
Oh, wow. Last year was Mocha Mousse or something.
Last year was, yes, it was the chocolate brown.
Chocolate
was the mocha.
Brown.
So this year it's Cloud Dancer. So
wow.
It's, again, going soft, serene, soothing colors. It's your blush. So the white is very much there. But the other colors, the warm and inviting, the sunset colors, the terracotta, coral, ambers, peaches, still in.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the new color probably, which was from last year as well, are the burgundy, plums, the jewel colors. But there's no rules anymore.
There's no
the
rules.
Combinations you've got, and I especially love it when somebody comes to you and they are adventurous and daring, and they're ready to push the boundaries and do hot combinations.
For sure.
Also a lot of fun.
And tell me, when you walk into someone's home, because this is also for our listeners to help them when they're mm-hmm. doing a dinner or a Friday night or a special holiday, Do you feel that you have to tone with a home, or can you break? Just say you go into a home that's all black and white, for example. Would you
right.
say you have to use white vases or whatever? Would you break it? Or if you go into a home that's all the stones, could you do something completely different? Because sometimes I feel we get trapped in a color wave, if you know what I mean, in our own homes.
100%. I think with all of us, we even with how we dress, sometimes you just get stuck in a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially for people who are very monochromatic, who are very minimal, they feel like one color family. I can't, venture out of that. But absolutely, that's your place to try, to experiment. It's like having your neutral palette in your home and then to throw in the scatter cushions that are your, we like to call it in the studio, the wild joker.
Okay.
So have fun at your table.
For sure.
Have
For sure.
Fun. On your Shabbat dinner table.
Yes.
Those are the places where you can go wild with your tablecloths, your colors, try combinations that are out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you need to do it.
I agree.
That's the fun. Why not?
And tell me one more thing. You know how sometimes there was that look of like lots of little vases across a table? Is that still
vases.
Kind of de rigueur? It's moving away from that, or where we
no,
with that?
No, very much still happening.
Okay.
Different vases. Before it was more one vase. Now it's different. There really are no rules. Also, I'm finding that before you would have maybe used the soft flowers there, they might even start with the more exotic flowers, using that look, but using, instead of the pretty flowers you think of, the exotic flowers, the orchids, the heliconias. So definitely still a thing, the bud vases.
And mixing containers, what's your take on that? Because sometimes even in my own home, I have a glass and then I have something, a pot, and then I have something ceramic, and I feel, does it look okay to kind of combine different textures?
I love mixing but not matching. Okay. Love. Always been a fan of that. Keeping stuff monochromatic, one vessel, only ceramic, it does have a place.
Yes, for sure.
But I feel that you can have a lot more fun, and you can mix almost anything as long as you put it, you put it together well. Have some fun in your home. That's where you can play.
Great. And tell us, where can listeners, you on Instagram, correct, as Lulu D?
Yes, we're on Instagram. We are doing a website, which seems to be taking forever, but there is one coming.
Good.
But yes, you can contact us on Instagram and watch out for that website soon.
That's amazing. Anthea, how did I say it? Soteropoulos, like a real Greek.
Look at you, like a proper Greek.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today and chatting about your love
and
your passion.
Thank you, my lovely
and
Dolores.
And you just carry on doing beautiful work out there.
Thank you, and you too. Thanks so much for having me.
Pleasure. Bye. Happy Purim. Let the Chev help you fulfill the mitzvah of Matanot Le'Evyonim right now. Every rand will go into the hand of a person in need today. Simply donate on their website, jhbchev.co.za, or download their SmartCam app from the App Store or Google Play, or get down to a collection hotspot now at Three Roses, Moishe's, Kosher World, Siegel's, Genesis, or Sandringham Spa. All money collected must be distributed today to Jewish people in need of food, shelter, and healthcare.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So we were chatting flowers, and for me, what I love about the industry that we're in is the actual fusion, and I do see the fusion between fashion, flowers, food. I love walking through streets when I'm on holiday, even I've just come back from America, luckily, and I love looking at shop windows because I feel that even the colors and the designs of shop windows gives us inspiration for what's trending and how to mix our different textures and how to layer and how to just have that edge and something different. But we're talking Purim. I know that we have had recipes in the past weeks about Purim, but nothing thrills me more than all these delicious flavors. When I think of, we think of Persia and we think of all those beautiful scents and fragrances. And I'm going to share with you some of my favorite little side dishes and one main dish. I feel that in our Jewish calendar, we kind of go from one holiday to the next. But I feel that a holiday isn't always about going somewhere. It's just really a state of mind, a memory, a special feeling, a stolen moment somewhere, something that conjures up something from our childhood, or a granny that once said something to us about a certain chag, or a parent singing a certain song. And all those things, of course, come together with food. So when we're thinking food and we're thinking Purim, I'm first going to start with two exciting side dishes that I love doing. And as you know, I love doing sometimes very simple food like a roast chicken and baby potatoes with lemon and herb out the oven. But something exciting on the table just makes it a bit edgier. So my brinjal salad with chili and mint. So I'm going to share that with you. For that, you're going to take three large brinjals. You're going to have olive oil, which of course you've got in your pantry, 2 tablespoons of red wine vinegar, some red chili and some chili flakes, fresh mint, some shredded flat leaf Italian parsley, which is one of my favorite herbs, some coarsely ground sea salt, and of course some ground black pepper, which is just my best. So if you want, you can always soak your eggplant first in a colander. You can slice thick chunks, thick slices, and let it drain, and then the bitterness seems to just diffuse easily. We're going to preheat a grill or a pan or a griddle pan or whatever you want. Preheat to high and cook the eggplant very quickly, 2 to 3 minutes on each side, just until very lightly charred, but it must be cooked through. Transfer this to a heat-proof bowl, cover with plastic wrap, and set aside for at least 15 to 20 minutes. Meanwhile, in a separate dish, you're going to whisk together your olive oil, your red wine vinegar. You're going to add some chili and mint and parsley, season with salt and pepper, and stir that very quickly together. You're then going to shred your eggplant into rough strips with your hands, place on a platter or in a bowl, add your dressing and gently toss together. So that's a wow salad. It's a wow side dish. You can even serve it a little bit warm if you want to, with a chicken, something plain, because it's got such beautiful flavors and such a decadent feeling to it that you don't need something that's going to clash with that. Another salad that I love to do is a carrot salad. For that, you're going to use 3 large carrots, which you've peeled and coarsely grated or very finely sliced, a small red chili, seeded and chopped, or you can use chili flakes. I like to do a combination of both, and I love the look of both, the fresh red chili with the chili flakes, a handful of fresh chopped coriander, some small black olives, which are pitted, of course, and sliced, sea salt, pepper, olive oil, lemon juice, some runny honey, and some ground cumin. How quick and easy can that be? You put your carrot, chili, coriander, and olives in a large bowl, season with salt and pepper, toss together, whisk then in a separate little bowl your olive oil, lemon juice, honey, and cumin, add the dressing to the salad, and toss well. So what could be more delicious than a fresh roast chicken out the oven with some lemon and herb baby potatoes and 2 delicious side salads? There you have a beautiful, very infused flavor kind of meal. Before we move on to my next guest, I'm going to share one more chicken dish with you using one of my favorite herbs, which is a pinch of saffron. I love saffron. I love the color. I love the look. And I love the decadence of the feeling. It seems to have like an ancient kind of scent and feeling about it. So for this, you're going to have your pinch of saffron, 2 tablespoons of boiled water, which you've just let cool, so just boiled water, 4 cloves of garlic peeled and crushed, tomato puree, which about 3 heaped tablespoons, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, the juice of an orange, keep your orange rind too, 2 teaspoons of ground coriander, and I like to combine that with fresh too, a dash of turmeric, a 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon, and there you're going to have you're going to add all of that to 500 milliliters of hot chicken stock. So I use the inner parmen, as you know. Unless you've made your own, you can take your hot chicken stock, and in that you're going to put all these delicious flavors, and you're going to mix it all together. I love to use for this deboned chicken thighs. Literally, take your chicken thighs. You can marinate them before, if you wish, with a bit of chicken rub or a little bit of chili flakes, salt and pepper always works well. And to that, you're going to then brown your chicken in your pan. And while I'm browning my chicken, I actually love to add in some fresh herbs like coriander. You can add some garlic. You can add your salt and pepper. Mix it all together. Make sure that your chicken's fully cooked. Take it out of your skillet or pan. Place it in a dish and pour your sauce over. What I have also been doing is adding about 3 cups of rice to the bottom of my dish. Rice that I've kind of cleaned and just boiled but not cooked through. And then you've got one beautiful dish, like in a beautiful casserole dish, of your rice with your chicken thighs placed on top. Add your infused flavors with your chicken stock and all those herbs, and let it cook for about 40 to 50 minutes further until your chicken's cooked through and your rice is not dry, not wet, but just right. To that, you can just add pomegranates, a little dash of za'atar, and I love to take pistachio nuts, roughly chopped, with some coriander leaves and throw it over. If you really want to go the extra mile, you can even drizzle over some of the thin tahina, but there you have a delicious Persian chicken.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We're talking feelings of holiday, feelings of nostalgia. We're worrying about our beloved Israel, but at the same time, we're celebrating Purim in our beautiful South Africa and celebrating the community we have and how lucky we are to have in our midst Hani Levine of Gelatissimo. Everyone who is in Johannesburg and even further, Cape Town, Durban, all abroad, people talk about Gelatissimo ice cream across the globe and say that it's the most genuine Italian gelato that you can possibly find. So welcome to our show, Hani.
Thank you. Grazie. Thank you.
So before we start talking about flavors and your favorite tastes and how you develop new flavors, tell us about your journey and how you started and how you got to South Africa firstly and how you started Gelatissimo. And it's just such a household name now, and everyone just clamors for your ice cream, whether it's a Friday night, a chag, a holiday, a school function, a bar mitzvah. We all love Gelatissimo. So talk to us about your journey.
So by trade, like my job was, I'm a nursery school teacher.
Oh, wow.
Always loved kids. Yeah, loved kids. And I've always taught. And my kids were getting old. And I needed to create something for my children. They had a bit of learning difficulties, and I needed to create something. And I come from, thank God, from Milano, Italy.
Wow.
And
you're the real deal.
I was born
the real
there.
Deal. We have gelato from Italy in the real way.
Yes, like my brother says, made in Italy.
Made in Italy.
And made in Italy, because my two older siblings were born in America, and then my parents moved to Italy, and I was born in Italy. And I was always, thank God, one of 17 children.
Oh,
but
wow.
I'm number three, and what I was
blessing.
The cook. I was in charge of the cook. I always enjoyed food, loved food. And so I was in charge of the cooking. So I've always been in the kitchen, and I've always been trying, you know, new things. And so when the need came that I need to create something for my children, I started thinking, and I realized I want to do something that I wanted to bring a piece of home here, a piece of home. And if you see Gelatissimo, you could see there's Tuscany on the wall.
For sure.
There's the balcony, like the wall there with the window. That's like when you walk into my cortile, it's called. It's like a courtyard. Because people there don't really have houses. It's apartments, one on top of the other. And everybody puts their beautiful flowers by the window.
For sure.
And that's also what I created. It's that look of, it's a piece of home. For me, it's really a piece of home. Like automatically, when I come here, I feel like I'm in Italy.
That's beautiful.
Sometimes I find myself talking in Italian. My brother also lives here, and we only speak in Italian.
That's amazing.
And I decided I want to bring gelato. Gelato is not here.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember people telling me, but how do you know? It's not going to go. And I'm like, I just know gelato is gelato.
For sure.
And they were like, can we taste it? I said, well, not yet, because I haven't made it yet. But I'm telling you, gelato is gelato. Obviously, the fact that you're asking, you don't know what gelato is, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's how it started.
And when was this, honey? How many years ago?
9 years ago. In September will be 10 years.
Amazing.
2016, September 2016.
Amazing.
And thank God, God has blessed this place. I really feel it's so blessed, so blessed.
For sure. But
thank
with
God.
Blessings also
thank
comes
God.
Talent, and you are talented in what you do.
Thank you. I love food. For me, it's also an expression of myself. And it doesn't just feed, it's not just eating gelato, it feeds my soul,
for sure.
Makes you happy.
Oh, and ice cream definitely makes
and, you
everybody
know, I've got,
happy.
Yeah, I've got a rule in my shop. Obviously, I've had to train people to help me. And the lady knows, like, if I see she's in a bad mood, I'm like, okay, you want to go home for the day? You can't make ice cream when you're in a bad mood.
For
it
sure,
doesn't
you've got to
work.
Do it with a loving heart. So tell us, did you have to study? Did you go and
heart.
Learn
Absolutely.
The tricks of the trade? I mean, it's easy
so
to
I
say the
to
word
Italy.
Gelato,
I've
but what does it all entail?
So gelato means frozen, actually. The actual word means frozen.
Okay.
But gelato is, you know, in Milano and in Italy, you can have a block with three gelaterie
for
in
sure.
the same block. And everybody is busy. Because gelato
it's part
is
of the culture.
It's part of the culture. Like the doctor, if your child hasn't had dairy for the day, they'll say, go get a gelato. In winter, you know, in South Africa, people in winter, they stay home. Oh my God, it's freezing. You know, in Italy, they've got their priorities straight. That you put on your scarf, you put on your hat,
for sure.
And you go and have
you
a gelato,
and eat ice cream.
You know?
Yeah. There's nothing actually better than
gelato,
ice cream on
so.
A cold day. It's delicious.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a friend who has a gelateria in Milano, my cafe. It's actually also kosher. And I went for 2 weeks to Milano. Literally, I used to wake up at 6, go on the train. It was a 45-minute drive, go to his gelateria. And I hanged out there for 2 weeks from morning to evening to see if it would be something I would enjoy doing and I can learn how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. And what's incredible is that even after 10 years, I'm still excited to make gelato.
That's amazing.
I'm not bored, thank God, which is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
and you keep on introducing new flavors. What is your favorite flavor, just by the way?
So my favorite is stracciatella. Mm-hmm. The combination of stracciatella and hazelnut and cocoa, because hazelnut cocoa is quite rich. So I always take a little, but it's beautiful because it's got the smoothness and the crunch. Uh-huh. Stracciatella is the base with your stracciato in Italian means stracciato. It's when you go stracciare, like you, I don't know how to say it in English. Stracciato, stracciatella. It's like, you know, when you go like that with the chocolate and it turns hard.
Okay.
So what's beautiful about it is that your chocolate is a little bit on the bitter side. Your base is sweet. So it complements. It's the perfect combination. And it's also got the smoothness and the crunch. And it's just, gelato is just so beautiful. And you don't get that aftertaste. And sure. You know what's beautiful about gelato? You keep it at a different temperature than regular ice cream,
okay?
Industrial ice cream, and that's why automatically.
So, and when we buy it to store it, is that we just put it in our regular freezer? Is that acceptable?
Yeah, you can keep it in your regular freezer. So your nutty flavors, your chocolate will go harder. So you just have to take them out like a good 20 minutes before serving, and it goes right to that beautiful consistency. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if it melts, you can't really refreeze it. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful product. It's a beautiful, it's high quality.
For sure.
And
do you see a difference in the taste back home to what have you had to adapt flavors to our South African palate?
Yeah, just like the mint, the Italians like it a bit deeper, mm-hmm. more strong. And otherwise, no. I also try to be quite authentic to my detriment, because some part time people will tell me, oh, but who cares? Like, what's the difference? We don't know the difference. But I
know
the difference.
Difference. For sure. And you're passionate about what you do, and you want to put out a product that's authentic.
Yes, very important.
I think people can taste authenticity in anything, in food, in how you present food, and when you do a table. I think that if there's something genuine and authentic about your offering, I think it shines through in anything that you do.
It's true. Yeah.
And tell us your new flavors. I know recently we've had honeycomb, and what are the other new flavors?
Turkish Delight.
Turkish Delight is just delicious.
Turkish Delight and honeycomb. We did cookies and cream the other day.
Are there certain flavors that kids just prefer?
Yeah, they love the cotton candy.
Yeah.
And they love the color and the sprinkles.
Sure.
But what's interesting is it's quite a thing, because go to America, there is tons of toppings. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the reasons why they put so many toppings is because the ice cream is not as good. So you've got to like kind of, you know,
disguise
dress it,
or add it, or elevate
but
it.
But what's incredible is gelato, the more toppings you put, you actually destroying the ice cream. It's beautiful just the way it is.
For sure.
And I've had to teach that to my customers. I've had to explain less is more. Mm-hmm. It's like also like when you see like a piece of clothing made in Italy, right? Mm-hmm. You'll see the simplicity, but it is so perfect, because mm-hmm. the cut is incredible, and it's so true. Less is more. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredible. It's incredible.
And tell us about your sorbet range. For me, as a caterer, I know that to have delicious sorbets to offer guests after a meat meal is just a blessing to me. So which weighs more in your shop? Which, I mean, is there a weighting that you sell more milk or parve or the sorbets, or is there a preference?
So it's interesting because I used to make only sorbets. Then we introduced what I call the premium creamy parve. And those are very popular.
And they're delicious, and you can't even tell the difference.
Thank God. People always say, are you sure it's parve?
I know. People question your functions, especially with the frozen yogurt. You have no idea the questions I get. Are you sure? I want to see. Just make sure that it's parve.
Yes. So thank God. But also the sorbets, they're so refreshing and creamy. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a sorbet, it's a gelato sorbet.
Yes.
It's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different story, yeah.
And Khani, before we wrap up, when you buy ice cream in a litre or a sorbet in a litre, how long do you think it can last, like really well, in a home freezer?
3 months.
Okay.
3 months is perfect.
Because people often ask and me again, and I never know the answer.
It mustn't, you must make sure that it doesn't, like if it becomes water,
yes,
and you refreeze it, obviously not.
Yeah.
But 3 months in the freezer, it should be perfect.
Okay.
It really is. And it's nice because like now it's summer and we're doing those get jolly, we call them, which are ice lollies.
Mm-hmm.
What's nice about it is, you know, most ice lollies, you know, you suck and then you're left with
water.
Just the ice. This
yeah.
is a whole, this is not like that. And the little pinguini and the Italian kisses, you know, they're the perfect size. It's just an added, you know.
For sure.
It's very enjoyable and nice.
Amazing.
Delicious.
Well, we're looking forward to more flavors in 2026.
Thank you.
And thank you for offering
yes.
our market and our community such delicious dessert and such an offering. We value it
and
deeply.
Thank you. And thank you for your support. And thank you so much for calling me on. Thank you.
Thanks, honey.
Grazie, veramente grazie. Okay.
Cheers.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
Ogni bene. Bye.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We were talking delicious ice cream flavors and gelato and sorbet and all the best, beautiful, sweet dessert, crunchy infusions that we get at Gelatissimo and elsewhere. And I know Khani was talking about toppings and that with a genuine gelato, you don't really need a topping. You don't need fillings. But I find so many fun things to do with ice cream and with sorbet at my events. And I'm going to pass a few on to you because it's just such a nice idea. So you can get a tub of delicious sorbet or gelato, place it in your own bowl and just scoop up the top so it looks all fluffy and pretty. I love having a bowl of berries next to it and making like a chocolate ganache or a caramel sauce. So I'm going to share with you a few recipes just for some different sauces. I love having different sauces next to it. I'm talking a plain vanilla ice cream. There's nothing more beautiful after a heavy meal than having a lemon sorbet and sometimes a mulva pudding with a vanilla ice cream. I love doing some toppings and often do chocolate chip biscuits. So I find that the kids love taking ice cream and making a chocolate chip biscuit sandwich with a little bit of ganache drizzle. If it's a milk function, you can have a gelato with some sauce. You can add bar one to your sauce and then have some Smarties and jelly tots and all fun things. So that just adds to an event or a party. And it's so easy when you can easily buy your ice cream. You don't have to sit at home churning it for hours. And here's some ideas. So for a chocolate sauce, what I usually do is the basic, the under my base is always half a cup of cocoa powder and use a good quality cocoa powder, a cup of water, a cup of sugar, a pinch of salt, and a quarter teaspoon of vanilla extract. So that's really the rule. But to that, I often add dark chocolate, which I melt and add it in. And when I'm doing a milky function, I do a bar one or Ferrero or something to give it a crunch, or just add something to a chocolate sauce. You can also add cream, of course. And often when I do my ganache, I add, you've got your chocolate and you've got your, I use Rich's Whip in a pot, and to the pot I add my water, my Rich's, some sugar, a pinch of salt always, a dash of vanilla extract, and I prefer the extract here to the essence, some good quality cocoa powder, and always some real dark chocolate melted through. That makes a delicious ganache. I drizzle it over cakes. I use it over dessert and, of course, a delicious ice cream sauce. For a salted caramel sauce, basically the rule is always the same. A cup of sugar, a quarter cup of water, 6 tablespoons of butter if you're doing it for a milk event or a milk dinner. Otherwise, I use cardamom or a pair of margarine, 1/2 cup of heavy cream, or again, you can switch it to Orly or Rich's or something pair of, 1 full teaspoon of vanilla extract, and always your pinch of salt. Combine it all together and then taste it and do it according to your liking. I sometimes add a bit more salt, a bit more sugar, just to get that balance with that salt and that sweet, which I love with ice cream. And it's delicious as a drizzle over a cheesecake, over an apple crumble, or a bread and butter pudding. Always a salted caramel sauce just works so beautifully. For a fresh strawberry or berry sauce, I love to use berries that are going slightly soggy in my fridge. I hate to waste, and I always use my strawberries and blueberries. I literally toss everything into a pot together, add a cup of sugar, and you can use brown sugar, you can use honey, you can use date honey, anything sweet to flavor the berries, 2 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice, which squeezed. You can add in some lemon rind even if you wish, a quarter teaspoon of vanilla extract. And I often even add some Shabbos wine, like the Rashi Shabbos wine just adds such a beautiful flavor to a strawberry or berry sauce. Again, I use this to top cheesecakes, to top a bread and butter pudding. You can use it over French toast at a breakfast and as with an ice cream. A basic vanilla sauce is your cup of milk, and again, you can switch to an almond milk or oat milk or Rich's. 3 egg yolks, a quarter cup of sugar, and a teaspoon of vanilla extract. Put it in your pot, boil it all up, let it simmer just very gently, and again, to that, you can add anything you wish, and that always makes just such a delicious dessert. We're now going to look ahead, as we do in our Jewish calendar, and I'm going to be joined by Eli Feiglin of Aussie Pesach. So we're going to cross over to Eli and talk about the next Chag on our calendar, because as you know, we go from one Chag to the next. Welcome to our show, Eli.
Yes, hi.
Thank you for joining us. And we're in the midst of Purim, and we're talking Hamantaschen and Persian chicken and saffron and cumin. But we're thinking ahead, and as we do in our calendar and as we do as Jews, we're always looking for the next Chag. So our next one on the big calendar is Pesach. And I'm going to chat to you about your Aussie Pesach program and what it entails.
Sure. Happy to be here. Let's go.
So let's talk about, firstly, what always amazes me is the planning and the magnitude of such a program, because we have Shabboses, we have Yontifs, we have lunches, we have dinners, we have before and after, and people can't leave straight away, so then we have to go into Shabbos again. So talk to me about when you approach such a program, and you've obviously been doing it a few years now. Tell us about your journey also, how you started, how you got into this, what sparked this to start doing these programs across the globe, because I know you've been to Thailand. So tell us a bit about your journey, and then talk to us about your Zimbali program for this year.
Okay, sure. So the journey started about 10 years ago, actually, when I was here on a visit. And a friend of mine, Yechiel Asraf, was doing, who used to do it, was doing one that year, but he didn't have a hotel. So we were here visiting and actually having one of our children here. And I said, let me help you. So I started calling up hotels and looking all around. And eventually we drove down to Sun City and we spoke to the palace. And I never thought we'd get it, but we actually got the palace to give us all the rooms and dining rooms and banqueting kitchens that we needed.
Wow.
So we actually had Pesach. It was Pesach at the palace in 2014, which was amazing. We had people from all over the world come.
And how many do you remember how many that was there in those days?
Yeah, I think that year was about 300, 350
people. Okay, so it's always been big.
It's always been that size, because smaller than that doesn't really work commercially for the project.
Mm-hmm.
And then too big is just, once you have 600-700 people,
it becomes something else, like this amorphous mass, and you can't really give individual kind of attention. Sure.
And then people are waiting at buffet lines and they're not happy, and Jews waiting for food, it's not a good thing.
Not a good thing.
We try
not
to avoid that.
But we have queues everywhere. I tell everyone at every bar mitzvah there's a queue.
Yeah. So you got to wait up for that. So we did it there 3 years here. Then I wasn't coming here much anymore, so I did it with a friend of mine in Australia for 3 years, and we did it in Gold Coast and Cairns and beautiful, beautiful places. And then COVID hit, so we had to stop it for a while.
Okay.
And then once COVID was calming down, I actually wasn't in it anymore. We'd stopped, but then a friend said, "Oh, we're going to Dubai. Why don't you put a group together?" So we did we actually teamed up with another program and did one in Dubai. And then the following year, we did it with an Israeli group and did it in Thailand.
Wow.
And that was about 800, 900 people.
Oh,
that
wow.
was just, that was too wild. So that was just a one-time thing. And then now we've been back at Zimbali, the capital Zimbali. This will be year number 3 in a row here.
Mm-hmm.
And this hotel just really works. I mean,
I've really done so many
hotels. It's got the rooms you need, the suites you need, the milchig, the breakfast room, the fleishig dining room, a kids club room, a shul room. It literally has everything. And for people in Joburg, they can drive down, fly down. People overseas can fly in. So it just works. It just really ticks all the boxes.
For sure. And just from your experience and what you've seen across the globe, are there big differences between, say, a Pesach program in Dubai and in Thailand and in South Africa? Or are there commonalities? Are there threads that tie them all together other than the Chag itself?
Well, at the end of the day, in this market, Jewish families are really looking to go somewhere, have a good time, and have all Pesach or kosher food sorted for them. So that's why this works, because you don't have to do anything. You can just pay, rock up, and it's all done for you, which is amazing. And Pesach's like an 8-9 days plus
for
getting
sure.
there. And
plus, that. So that's what I'm saying. It actually ends up being more days.
It ends up being a 10-day trip. And some people come a bit early or stay a bit late. So people go away for like 2 weeks with their family. And it's amazing. So these days, I mean, you can go and do this in Thailand. You can do this in South Africa. You can do this in South America. You can do this in Vegas. You can do it in Mexico. You can do it in Israel. So you really get to just pick, you know, you speak to the family, which country or which city do we want to visit? And let's go do a Pesach run. We'll get a proper 10 days to see the place. With everything arranged, it's unbelievable.
And from your experience, what you've seen here, do you feel that we in any advantageous kind of position with, I know we sometimes battle for certain product lines, is it easier in other places? I mean, is it more challenging here than from what you've experienced in other places?
Well, yes and no. So there's pros and cons to each place. I mean, Thailand people go to because the beaches there are just unbelievable, but they don't have much there. I mean, there is Chabad there, so we were able to get the meat and wine through them, made it a bit easier. But the language barrier was actually proved to be much harder than we thought. So over here, you got the advantage of English speaking is great. Cost of labor is better than America and Australia. Mm-hmm. So there are a few advantages. Cost of meat, I mean, listen, cost of food everywhere in the world now is going up. So that's always different.
Dramatically,
but,
yeah. I mean, I was just in America, and even for Americans in America, everything has gone up dramatically.
Yeah, no, the pricing has gone up since COVID. Costings on all these things have gone up everywhere. So that's kind of similar across the board. But the weather here, the difference is Europe has lots of programs. I think Greece has 30 programs there this year. But Europe's already getting a little bit cold, or still a little bit cold. And people, you know, want to be Chol HaMoed by the pool, go to the beach. So the advantage South Africa has, it's just at the tail end of summer.
For sure.
So it's still
just warm enough.
Still warm. Mm. You can be shorts and T-shirt. They don't have to pack the jackets and the coats. You can pack light. You know, you will be in the pool. You can go to the beaches. So that's like a real advantage of here. We are a little bit limited on products that come into South Africa. You know, programs in New York and Miami can literally...
They have the best of the best, for sure.
They can buy everything. So here we just got to be...
More inventive.
A little bit more... A bit more creative and just import a little bit more and make a little bit more from scratch, but it's all doable.
And talk to us, just for the listeners to have a sense of the magnitude of, like, in kilos, how much meat do we order? How many eggs do you use in a 12 day? I mean, I should know these things too, but I'm asking you just, do you have any sense of that?
A little bit. Well, Gavi does most of the ordering in quantities. He's better with that, but I know that we don't talk tens or hundreds. We talk in the thousands.
Thousands.
You know, people order go to the butcher and get 500 grams or a kilo of chicken for the house for dinner. You know, we're talking hundreds of kilos of each of lamb and beef.
I mean, I'm sure 1,000 kilos of chicken over 12 days or something ridiculous like that.
So we're not talking tons, not kilos.
For sure, for sure. And tell me, the people who come from across the globe and who've had experiences in other places, do they love it in South Africa? What do they love? How do they compare it? I know you can't always do things comparatively because it's a different experience, but what's your sense of what your guests say?
Well, listen, when people are sitting around the Yom Tov table twice a day for hours, there's a lot of time to talk. So they will compare where they were last year. How does this compare? What's better? What's worse? South Africa's quite interesting, you know, because it does have a little bit of a dangerous connotation to it for people that haven't been here. But once people have been here, I mean, we had a call this year from three people, actually. They called, one from America, one from Australia, one from somewhere else. And they actually said, you know, I was never thinking to come to South Africa. I never thought about it. I thought it was dangerous, but I just popped in for a wedding or I just popped in for some business. And wow, I understand why you live here now. And this place is beautiful and people are so friendly and the weather's so great. And people have time and it's a very relaxed atmosphere. So, you know, we were going to come for Pesach with the whole family now that we see what's going on over here. People just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Well, good luck. We will see you on that side and we'll chat again about Pesach in Zimbali. Thank you for joining us.
Eli Flagen
of Aussie Pesach. We've run the gamut today. We've spoken floral, we've spoken delicious ice cream, we've spoken about our next chag on the calendar, Pesach, and we've spoken about different flavors that infuse our senses and give us memories of the past or create a sense of nostalgia. But today it's Purim, so Purim Sameach. Let's fulfill the mitzvot of Purim by giving to others, celebrating with others, sharing with others, thinking of our brothers and sisters across the world and particularly in our beloved Eretz Israel, and wish them peace and serenity and some sense of celebration. And I'm going to end off just with a quote that I found in one of my recipe books by Bill Granger, who says, "I might not have the best memory in the world, but I can always remember when I first made something or first tasted or first created certain dishes. We all have different ways of slipping bookmarks into our lives. And for me, it's food that captures the essence of any special moment." So I heartily agree with Bill on that. For me, it's a sense of food and sitting around the table and sharing with people, just chatting and just sharing. And that's really what food should be, to bring us all together and to create a better world in some sense. Happy Purim, everyone.